It's good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. I appreciate, thank God again, the invitation to come being part of the service. Thank you for your hospitality, for the good room that you put us up in and how you've helped us. And it's been a blessing to be here. And I'm glad, thank God, we sing a song in those mountains. Said I went down a beggar and I came up a millionaire. And thank God, I'm glad that I know what they're singing about. I'm glad, thank God, I'm rich tonight. Not in earthly wealth. If you looked at my bank account, I'm just like you. It would, you'd shake your head. But thank God, I'm glad when it comes to what the Lord's done for me, I am rich. Has it ever occurred to you how good the economy is in glory? They're bragging about how good the economy is. How good things are doing. But I'm going to tell you, thank God, Trump's economy can't hold a candle to God's. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29. Jeremiah, chapter number 29. And I want to read one verse, bring to you the thought that the Lord's placed upon my heart. Jeremiah, chapter number 29, verse number 11. Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I want to preach tonight, if God will help me, on this thought, when God interjects Himself.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless the reading of your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us, enable us, God, to be able to say what you want said here in this place tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the peace that you give us that passeth all understanding. I thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence. I thank you, Lord, for helping our brothers this week as they've stood and preached the word of God so faithfully. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless them and help them and God, use them in days to come. God, touch, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing them to preach to my heart the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, pray, Lord, I pray. God, knowing I'm a needy creature, needing you to pass by this way again, realizing, God, that within myself I can do nothing. Lord, I come clinging only to you, asking you, God, to hide me in the cross and help me, Lord, I pray, in this service tonight to deliver that you birthed in me. Help me, Lord, I pray, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you for that you do. For we're asking in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. When God injects himself, when God injects himself. Now, there's a whole lot of people that want to inject themselves into your life and your business, but thank God there's some of them have good intentions and some of them don't. But I'm glad God is interested in here. Jeremiah, he says, "I know the thoughts that I have towards you." God is saying, "I know what I'm thinking about you. You don't realize what I'm thinking. You don't realize what I'm planning. You don't even understand all that I'm doing." But he said, "I want you to know that I'm thinking about you." Bless his name tonight. I'm glad, thank God, the Lord is thinking about me. I won't just sing or preach the second, but thank God, the second verse of the message tonight that Brother Bright already preached. Thank God, ain't you glad that God injects himself, thank God, into your life? Thank God, the Bible said in the beginning, thank God, there was nothing. Thank God, there was nothing. No earth, no heaven. Nothing but darkness and blackness. But God interjected himself into the darkness and void and said, thank God, thank God, he spoke and said, "Let the, thank God, the heavens and earth be." What a blessing that God injected himself. Then the Bible said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and thank God, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But God injected himself again. And the Bible said the Spirit of God began to move over the waters of the deep. Thank God, ain't you glad that God interjected himself? Amen. 400 years of darkness the brother preached about. 400 years of no voice. Are you listening to me? Not a word from a prophet. Not a whisper from an angel. Not an utterance from Almighty God. But thank God, I'm glad in the darkness and the blackness of Israel's day, I thank God, God injected Himself and said, thank God, I sent those angels to cry. I thank God, and the message was what? Is it God coming to judge? Is God coming in wrath? Oh, no, 10,000 times no. He said, peace on earth, goodwill toward me. Ain't you glad God is in the business of injecting Himself? Amen. I want to look at a couple places tonight, if the Lord will help me, thank God, and preach to you what the Lord's given me on my heart. Hebrews chapter number 1, the Bible said, God at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past by the prophets. He spoke by the prophets. But thank God when He come to this time that He was going to inject Himself, a prophet wouldn't do. An angel wouldn't do. I thank God nobody else would do. I thank God. So in that time, in the fullness of time, I thank God God sent His Son. I thank God when He could not trust anybody else with this message, I thank God He injected Himself into this thing. Amen. I want to look at four different situations tonight, if the Lord will help me on where God injected Himself. Amen. First of all, can I say, thank God God injected Himself. I thank God in the midst of our infirmities. Amen. Amen. You know the story well. John chapter 5. The Bible said there was a place in the Hebrew tongue called Bethesda. I thank God having 5 porches. I thank God, and in them porches lay a host of impotent folk. A blind halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. But thank God, I'm glad that after 38 years, I thank God of the Lord, watching that boy lay down yonder on that porch, after 38 years of his infirmities, I thank God God injected Himself into that boy's path and into his life, and thank God made a difference.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, that word infirmities means the blind halt, withered. Blind, halt, withered. It means somebody with an inability or a disability. Ain't that right? Somebody who wasn't able to do for themselves what needed to be. Now, don't miss this. I thank God in the providence of God. I thank God His infirmity brought Him, thank God, to Bethesda. Ain't that right? And in the providence of God, His infirmity got Him on the porch. But thank God it was because of his infirmity that he couldn't get no help within himself. And God looked down yonder at somebody after 38 years who had been suffering, thank God, with an inability. He was unable to do what needed to be done. But thank God God injected Himself that blessed day and walked across all them other folk and came to where he is at. Thank God to help that boy and to get him up. Amen. Hallelujah, God. I'm glad, thank God, that the Lord's in the business of injecting Himself. What is it that is your infirmity? What is it that's your infirmity? Everybody in here's got an infirmity. An inability. I'm going to tell you, thank God, your inability is what got you here.
Amen.
You realize you couldn't help yourself. That's why you came to the house of God. You realize, thank God, your family realized they couldn't help you. So they carried you to the porch. But blessed be His name. I'm glad, thank God, He didn't leave you there. But He passed by your porch in your time. Thank God to help you.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Ain't you glad He's interested in those with infirmities? Amen. What did He say? He said to that young man, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now he's leaving, carrying what's been carrying him. That's enough right there to take a 5-minute shouting spell over. He's carrying what's been carrying him.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. All before, he wasn't able, Brother Jason. All before, he didn't have the power. All before, thank God, he couldn't get in the water. All before, thank God, he couldn't fulfill his desire. Thank God, to get healed and help. But thank God, today, he's leaving a different creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God, why? Because God injected himself in his infirmity.
That's right.
Amen. Sure. Not only does God inject himself in our infirmities, he injects himself in our issues. Amen. Over there in the scriptures, the Lord is dealing with a woman with an issue. And she's been 12 years in this shape. Ain't that right? She's tried everything of the physician, spent all she had, and grew none better, but rather is waxing worse. She's got an issue. The issue is what's flowing out of her.
Right.
What's flowing out of her is corrupting her.
Right.
Are you listening to me tonight? What's flowing out of her is corrupting her. Amen. I thank God he said out of the abundance of the heart, of the mouth speaketh. What's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart.
Right.
Ain't that right? I'm going to tell you, if you ain't careful, what's inside of you and flowing out of you, I thank God, will corrupt you.
Yes,
sir. So she's dealing with an issue. And it's draining her.
Right.
It's draining her financially.
Right.
It's draining her physically. It's draining her emotionally. It's draining her spiritually. That is right. I mean, this thing that's going on inside of her is draining the life out of her. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that what's going on the inside of you is draining you. It's a pulling the life out of you. It's just like something sucking the life out of you and drawing all that strength, all that willpower, all that. And she got to the place, I believe, that she was just about ready to wish for death.
Right. Yep.
Why? Because of her issue.
Amen.
But just when it looks like her issue can get no better, God injects himself.
Right.
Ain't you glad that the Lord's interested in injecting himself not only in your infirmities and your abilities, but he's interested in injecting himself in your, thank God, your issues. What issue are you dealing with tonight? What is it that's drawing the life out of you? What is it that's draining you and sucking the very spiritual existence out of you? I'm not talking about a physical issue. I'm not talking about that that's in your heart, that's in the back of your mind, that you go to sleep with at night and wake up with in the morning. I'm talking about that issue that nobody, your husband and wife may not know about it, or your children may not know about it, but down inside of you there's an issue.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, we're eat up in our church world with pretend Christianity.
Yes,
we get about out of our car, we put on that fake smile, straighten our tie, square our shoulders, walk through the door of the house of God. Somebody says, "How you doing?" "Oh, we're doing good." "Who are you trying to convince, me or you? I saw you get out of the car. I watched you come across the parking lot. Who are you trying to convince that you're doing okay?" Oh, I'm telling you, there's an issue and it's a draining. It's a draining, sucking the very life out of you. But God's interested in injecting himself in your issue.
Amen.
Thirdly tonight, not only does he inject himself, I thank God, in our infirmities and in our issues, but thirdly tonight, he injects himself in our insecurities. Amen. Thank God, those disciples, there they were on that boat. Thank God, and the storms are raging. And the Lord is on board. He's in the ship, but he's asleep. And they asked the most foolish question, I think probably recorded in all the Bible. They asked, "Carest not that we perish?" Why do you think he came across, has left the throne of God, stepped out of eternity into time?
Right.
He who was not controlled by time, space, or matter has stepped into time, space, and matter. I thank God, because you mattered.
Right.
Right. Care us not that we perish? Right. Do you not see what we're going through, Lord? Don't you care? Don't you have a concern? I thank God, and the Lord says how they were fearful of the storm.
Right.
And He steps up on the bow of that boat and says, "Peace, be still." And that storm laid down. Don't miss this.
Yes.
He turns to them and looks at them and says, "How is it that you have no faith? How is it that after following me all these days, you are so insecure? Did you honestly think I was going to let the ship sink with me on board? Now, if it's just you and yours on board, it might be sinking. If it's just you and all your stuff on board, it might be sinking. But if the Lord's on board, thank God, it may be taking on water like you can't even imagine. And the sump pumps may not be able to keep up, and the bucket may not be able to keep up with bailing out the ship. But I'm telling you, thank God, if He's on board, it ain't going down. Amen. Then the Bible said they exceedingly feared. They went from fearing the storm to fearing Him who's on board in the storm and calmed the storm. Ain't that right? And they said, the Bible said, they exceedingly feared, saying, "Who, what manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey Him?"
That's right.
But I got good news for you. That second fear is a good fear, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Amen. And thank God, what God was doing is taking that earthly insecurity and planting through their faith and adding to their faith. I thank God that they may be able to stand when He wasn't around. Do you realize that He spent 3.5 years teaching them boys that you can trust me when I'm here, and you can trust me when I'm here?
Amen.
The whole reason he raised that dead person at a distance was to let them know, I don't have to be standing at the bedside. I can be 3 towns away. Amen. I can be in my Heavenly Father's home. I thank God, look down on somebody and say, "Get up." And thank God they get up. Amen. But we're eat up with insecurities. I mean, it don't take much to scare us Baptists to death. Huh? Don't take much to scare us in our walk. Don't take much to scare us at our work. That was Elijah's problem. Old Jezebel scared him on the job. She said, "Boo," and it scared him. Is that right? Amen. Scared on their walk, scared on their work. And then we're scared down here at the church a lot of times to worship.
Right. Come on.
I would raise my hand, but what would they think? I would get beside myself, but what would they think? Who cares what they think if He that's on board said, "Get up"? Amen. Turn loose and worship God. Amen. I thank God, whatever He saith unto you, do it. Amen. I thank God. He tells you, thank God, to take a running spell, take a running spell. He tells you to shout, thank God, take a shouting spell. I thank God. He says to stand and clap your hands and glorify Him. Obey Him, thank God. Quit being insecure in what you believe.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He's interested in injecting Himself in our infirmity. He's interested in injecting Himself in our issues. He's interested in injecting Himself, thank God, in our insecurity. But last of all, He's interested in injecting Himself in our identity.
Amen.
Over there in Acts chapter 9, I believe it is, there's an old feller named Saul. And he's got problems. He's down at the temple, but he just cause he's down at the temple don't mean he ain't got problems. And just cause you're in a place of worship don't mean you're, thank God, don't have issues. Ain't that right? Now, he's eat up with religion. He's got a heart full of religion. I mean, you couldn't get more religious than old Apostle Paul, old Saul of Tarsus was. Amen? He's eat up with it. His heart is full of religion. But his heart is also full of hatred in his religion. You show me a religion that promotes hate, and thank God I'll show you something that's 1,000,000 miles away from Christianity.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
thank God. And we're living in a day where, thank God, hate is being promoted. Even among some Baptists, it's being promoted. But thank God, you're not my enemy. I ain't got but one enemy. He's the devil. And, well, the world's my enemy, and this system's my enemy. But thank God, I ain't supposed to fight it. I'm just supposed to put the armor on and stand.
Amen.
Did you ever realize that God didn't ask you to fight the battle for Him? All He said, bless the Lord, is thank God, put the armor on and take a stand. That's what He said. And having done all, stand. I'm going to tell you, thank God, it's a hard time to stand. Oh, Apostle Paul, Saul, he's on the road. He's got the letters in his hand. He's breathing out threats and slaughter against the church of God. He's got an identity problem. See, everybody that's right with God knows who he is and what he is. And thank God, he needs a change of identity. Hallelujah. And I'm thank God, you say, what in the, how in the world did you change your identity? Well, you got to get a new name. And you got to get a new residence. And you got to get a new job. Ain't that right? Thank God, if they put you in witness protection and give you a new identity, that's the first thing they'll do is change your name, change your job, amen, and change your residence. And that's exactly what happened to old Saratos. Thank God, he got his name changed. Thank God, from Saul to Paul, he got his address changed from Jerusalem to Glory Boulevard. Thank God, he got his occupation changed. Thank God, from being a Pharisee, how to be an apostle of the living God.
Amen.
God wants to inject himself into your identity crisis. Now, when I was a 19-year-old boy, if you had went to Weaverville, North Carolina and said my name, everybody that knew me would have probably dropped their head. I had an identity problem. They knew who I was. They knew what I was. And they knew who I run with.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I needed an identity change. And I didn't even realize I needed one. I thought I was doing pretty good. Amen. I mean, I was a strut and I thought I was the stuff. I know you probably never did strut like that, but I thought I was it. And then I realized that morning that I was a hellbound sinner. And I was going to hell. And he showed me the outstretched arms of the Lamb of God hanging on the cross for me. And thank God, I bowed before him that day and cried out for help. And he changed my identity. He changed the way I dressed. He changed where I went. He changed, thank God, my name. I've got a new name written down in glory. Amen. Ain't you glad, thank God, God interjecting himself in your identity crisis? Our old Joshua is in chapter 1, I believe it is, of Joshua. And Moses is dead and buried they knew not where. And the reason God had to bury him somewhere, would not tell them where, is because they had to build a mosque there. Right. And they had still been marching around like that bunch in the Middle East is now.
Right.
Amen. So God buried him, didn't tell him where they buried him.
Right.
And God begins to talk to a young man's heart named Joshua.
Right.
Now, he don't know nothing. He knows about following, but he don't know anything about leading.
Yes,
he knows about following God's man. He's been doing that for a long time. He knows about taking instruction. But now the man of God's off the scene. And it's his time to step up to the plate. And his knees are knocking. And fear has gripped his heart. Because he knows what it is to be a soldier, but he don't know what it is to be a politician. He knows what it is, thank God, to fight a battle. But he don't know how to lead a people and really give the commands to the whole nation. It's one thing to tell soldiers what to do. It's another thing to tell mamas what to do.
Oh yeah.
It's another thing to tell children what to do. Now he's the leader of the nation of Israel. Everybody's looking at him, and God's gave him favor. And his knees are knocking, and he's scared to death. He needs God to do something in his life to change his identity, because all they know him as is a warrior. But he's going into Jericho, and he's fighting a battle that he knows he can't handle. So God steps in and says, just come down here and talk to you a minute.
Yeah.
He draws his sword because he says, are thou for us or against us? Are you for our adversaries or are you for us? He said, no, boy. I've injected myself. I've come to take over.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Hey, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what your issues, your infirmities. Thank God, I don't know what you're working, what in the world's going on in your heart. But I know this. God stands ready and willing and desiring, I thank God, to inject himself in your circumstance.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Ain't you glad that you got a God that's willing to inject himself?
Right.
Amen. Everybody stand with me. I'm done.